So we're kind of continuing right into the sermon today. And as you can see, we're talking about gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit. That if we are living our lives by the Spirit of God, seeking the things of the Spirit rather than the things that are of the flesh or the things of this world, then we will live in ways that Paul says demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, generosity and faithfulness, and today, gentleness. And gentleness, as we've just seen, is being easy and light, not harsh or forceful or overbearing. We see the gentleness of Jesus here when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I love this verse. This is one that I use all the time at the beginning of communion, at funerals, in pastoral care. It's comforting and reassuring that our Lord wants to lift our burdens and give us the rest, not just like the rest of a good night's sleep, but to give us the rest that we need deep inside of us, the rest that our souls need. But the thing is, there is this whole other part in this reading where Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Two times there, Jesus uses the word yoke. What's that all about? This is a yoke. Kind of. This, you know, I made this so it gives you the idea of what a yoke looks like. One of the perks of being a pastor for 8 years in Nebraska before I came here was that if I needed an actual yoke in a sermon, like half the congregation had one because they're all farmers or have horses or something. Not so much here. But a yoke is a piece of equipment that farmers use when working with animals in their field. It's used to bind two animals together. So you've got two horses or oxen or donkeys or whatever. You put them together, the other one goes right here, so that they can pull the plow. And the idea behind the yoke is that if one of the animals is smaller, you bind it to a bigger one. If one of the animals is weaker, you bind it to a stronger one. If one animal doesn't behave very well, if they're skittish or stubborn, you bind it to one that does behave well. So if they do the work together, the one helps the other. Yokes are typically made of wood, like a big beam across here, and they have like loops of rope here to keep them on the animal's head. So they're typically made from wood, and this big beam of wood is very heavy. It's uncomfortable. It is burdensome and awkward. Like, I can tell you, this feels very awkward standing up here doing this right now. They are literally a pain in the neck. It is hard to do very much while you're wearing one. It's hard to preach a sermon while you're wearing one of these. Really, the only thing you can do is to slowly lumber straight ahead. Right? It would be very uncomfortable and impractical, virtually impossible, to go around living your daily life while wearing one of these. But this was not entirely what Jesus had in mind when he was talking about taking his yoke upon you and his yoke being easy. He was talking about something else, and here's where I think this gets really interesting. Jesus was, of course, Jewish. And he was surrounded by rabbis. There's some thinking that he was a rabbi. He's referred to as one at points in the Gospels. Each rabbi had his own interpretation and understanding of Scripture and Jewish law. It might have been unique to that rabbi, like he came up with it. He came up with this interpretation. Or, like he adheres to another rabbi. It's like a rabbi taught him, and he says, "That is an understanding of Scripture that's good, and I'm going to stick with that." Either way, each rabbi could say, "This is how I believe Jewish scripture and law should be interpreted." An example of this can be seen in the commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It says, 6 days you are to do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of rest to the Lord, when you do not do any work. Well, the question naturally arose, what counts as work? Is cooking work? Can I cook on the Sabbath? Some rabbis said cooking was work, while others said it wasn't. Is sewing work? Some rabbis said yes, others said no. Some rabbis said you could only walk a certain distance on the Sabbath before it becomes work. So there were all these different understandings of what qualifies as work, different understandings of how the Sabbath should be observed. Each rabbi had his own understanding and interpretation of that. And that set of interpretations of Jewish law was referred to as that rabbi's yoke. It bound you to God. If you kept this yoke, this set of teachings and understandings of what it means to be faithful, if you lived your faith in this way, then you would be bound to God. Now the thing is, these yokes, these sets of interpretations and teachings, they could get very complicated, very detailed, heavy, burdensome, and hard to carry. There are over 600 commandments in the Jewish law. So if you're saying for each one of these, we've got a set of explanations as to how to live this out, that's a lot to remember. It gets to this point where it's like, you have to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, or else you are not living right with God. And we see an example of this in chapter 12 of Matthew. Right after Jesus says what he says at first about take my yoke upon you, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field on the Sabbath. His disciples get hungry, they start picking some of the grain and eating it. The Pharisees, who were the Jewish religious leaders whose sole purpose was to help people live out the Jewish law, they were there to help teach these yokes and make sure that people kept them and followed them. They see the disciples doing this, and they say to Jesus, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. They are picking grain, and the Pharisees said, that counts as work. Then, just after that, Jesus and his disciples, they go into the synagogue. There's a man there with a withered hand. He had some kind of disability. And the Pharisees ask Jesus, is it lawful to cure him on the Sabbath, or does that count as work? When Jesus does heal him, it says that the Pharisees went out and conspired against him to destroy him. Why? Because he had broken their understanding of what it meant to keep the Sabbath, and violating the Sabbath, according to Jewish law, was punishable by death. So they had these rigid understandings of what it meant to keep the commandments and be bound to God. Interpretations that were burdensome and hard for the average person to carry around in their daily lives. They had a heavy yoke. Jesus says later in Matthew's gospel that the Pharisees tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. He said they lock people out of the kingdom of heaven and make them children of hell. Jesus is saying that their yoke is too heavy and burdensome for the people. It's actually keeping people from being bound to God. It's keeping them from God. And so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What is Jesus' yoke? The Pharisees actually ask him that a little bit later on in Matthew's gospel. They say, teacher, rabbi in Hebrew, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is saying he interprets all of Scripture and all of the law through the lens of loving God and loving your neighbor. That is Jesus' yoke. Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus did not come to give us a new law or a new set of rules to follow. He came to give us rest from the burden of these yokes. He came to set us free from them so that we could be bound to God and really live our lives with God. So Jesus is showing us that gentleness has something to do with lightening loads and lifting burdens. Now, what does that mean for us? If we are striving to live our lives in harmony with God and with each other, if we are trying to keep Jesus' yoke of loving God and loving neighbor, then we will speak and act in ways that are not demanding or harsh or burdensome, but in ways that are compassionate and understanding and loving. Ways that make life lighter and easier to bear. We won't load up on people, place our demands on them, and make them live their lives and their faith the way we think that they should. We will speak and act in ways that set them free and take burdens from them. Paul says in Galatians, immediately after this part about the fruit of the Spirit, he says that we are to bear one another's burdens. I think this is what gentleness looks like. Remember how I told you at the beginning that yokes were used to bind two animals together so a stronger one could help a weaker one. Gentleness means that we are bound, we are yoked to people who are weak and struggling and having a hard time. We bear that burden with them so that they can keep going. Abayomi, could you come help me up? Real quick for just a minute, please. So we bear burdens with one another, right? And actually, the Greek word that that Paul and Jesus both use for gentleness is the word praute. And one of the definitions of it is used to talk about those who wholly rely on God rather than their own strength. If we are bound to God, yoked to God, then we will wholly rely on God rather than our own strength to help us bear the burdens of life. If we're bound to each other, then we're helping someone else bear the burdens of life when they aren't strong enough to do it on their own. And eventually, we get to the point where we can simply take that burden off, lay it down, and walk away. That is exactly what Jesus did and does with us. He shared our burdens until we get to the point where he said, "You don't have to carry that anymore. Set it down and follow me." Let's pray. Give you thanks, Lord, for taking the burdens of life away from us, that you help us bear these burdens when we are too weak to carry them on our own, that you put people in our lives to bear them with us, and that the yoke, the burden that you give us is one of love. Love towards God and love towards our neighbor. Help us to carry that yoke. Help us to live and speak and act in ways that show love for God and for our neighbor. Help us to bear one another's burdens when we see someone who is weak and struggling and having a hard time, to come alongside them carry it with them. Give you thanks for how you've done this with us in Christ, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we are not alone in life to bear all the burdens and pain and stress of life on our own. That you walk alongside us, and when we are weak, you lend your strength. When we cannot walk the straight way, you pull us back on the right path. Help us to do that with each other, to rely wholly on your strength in our lives. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, whom we follow, whose yoke we strive to bear. Amen.